Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to our service here in Stainfield Road Presbyterian Church, whether you're here in person or watching us online. My name's Alistair McCracken, and I'm part of the leadership team in Stainfield Road. Our minister, the Reverend Ben Walker, was due to take the service in Beaver Presbyterian Church this morning, but is currently confined to barracks with COVID. The service was meant to be led by Johnny Bell, but he too has been infected, so I have been brought off the subs bench. Johnny was also meant to bring the talk this morning and will now appear via video. David Nelson was going to tell the children's story this morning, and guess what? He's got COVID, and Jill will now take his place. Whoever said that COVID had disappeared? But we rejoice that Jesus is here. Can I start by just giving you some announcements for the weeks ahead? First of all, on Tuesday evening at 7:30, there's a PW meeting. The speaker at that meeting is Johnny McClune, and he will be talking about his work for Youth for Christ. It will be great to hear from someone from our own church family talking about their day-to-day work, and everyone is welcome, male and female. On Wednesday at 7:30, there's the prayer meeting. Please come to that if you can. Thirdly, as Ben mentioned last week, there is a special congregational meeting on Tuesday, the 25th of April at 8 p.m. This is a really important meeting to approve a memorandum of understanding between Stainfield Road and Beaver Presbyterian Church. A copy of the MOU will be available on Sunday the 23rd. Everyone is welcome to attend that meeting, to come, to listen, to speak, although only voting members can be involved in the formal vote. At the service on Sunday the 23rd, that's next Sunday, we look forward to introducing our new assistant minister, Andrew Ferguson, and his family to the congregation. Andrew will be with us for the summer and then for the next 3 years. Also that morning, we'll be taking a few moments, as many PCI and other churches are doing today, and at this time to reflect in prayer on 25 years of the Belfast Agreement. We now have a special announcement from MCG.
Good morning. So I'm here to tell you about a service next Sunday evening, 7 o'clock, and it's in the form of a cafe church. So if you've ever been to a cafe church before, it's quite a relaxed service, and we kind of sit around tables and there's coffee, and usually we have someone special talking at that. And next week we have a special guest who is a friend of mine from where I've been working. He's called Nelson Thomas Raja, and he's now living in Portadown, and he's coming on that night to talk about his work. I'll also be talking about my work. There'll be interviews and information. Some people have been asking me about educational sponsorship for where I'm working, and all the information will be there that night. Even if you can't come that night and you still need that information, please do speak to me. But before he comes to speak to us, he's going to cook on the fire pit outside. He's going to cook a culturally appropriate meal, and we're selling tickets for you to come along, help to cook the meal, eat the meal, chat, and have a bit of fun. There's been a poster up outside, I don't know if you've seen it, but I am still selling tickets for this. It starts at 4:30, and some people have said, oh, if you're coming to the evening service, that's a long day. But you only really need to come at 4:30 if you want to chop onions. So come at 5:30 and eat what we've made if that's too long a day for you. There are tickets available. We say come dressed appropriately if you would like to, although we'll be outside, so be careful. We're asking for a donation of £20 per person. But again, if there's two of you, that's £40. That's quite a lot of money. So if you think we'd like to go, but actually we just want to give you £15, we want to give you £50? That's all good. And any child that comes, they eat free, because we don't know how much biryani they'll eat. So I would invite you to come, and if you would talk to me today or through the week, I need to know, because we need to get the food. So you're all welcome. It will be what it will be. It's due to rain, but maybe not. So please think about coming at 4:30 and eating with us. There'll just be a 6:30 to 7 break. We can go home and feed the dog if you have to, and then come back for the 7 o'clock service and hear some more. Thank you.
Psalm 18, verses 1 to 2 says, I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies. Let's stand as we sing our first song of praise, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Quiet in our hearts as we speak to God. Our Father, we rejoice that there is no God like you, that only in you can we find meaning and delight. We thank you that you are our song, even when there is hostility around us. You are our hope when all seems hopeless. You are our joy when filled with sorrow, and you are our refuge when life is tough. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. My guilt and cross were laid on your shoulders, and in my place you suffered, bled, and died. But we rejoice this Sunday morning that you rose. The grave and death are conquered. You broke the bonds of sin and shame. We pray for your presence with us here in this place this morning. May every person, from the youngest to the oldest, the saddest to the happiest, the optimists and pessimists, the worried and carefree, the calmest to the most agitated, we pray that we will hear you speak. May your words penetrate every heart, and may Jesus Christ be glorified. As we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Sandra's going to come and bring us our reading.
Boys and girls, I wonder would you like to come and join me this morning at the front? Jill is going to come up too, and we thought it would be nice if you could listen to the reading from the Bible, from the book of John, and then Jill is going to read as well from the Jesus Storybook Bible. So the reading is from John 20, verses 24 to 31. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you've seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
Thank you, Sandra. We're going to continue reading that story. It's not that we're reading a different story. We're going to read the same one, but we're going to read it from this book, the Jesus Storybook Bible. And I know that lots of you have this, and I love it. And the thing is, it's not just for kids. I think it is fabulously all age. It applies to everybody. And let's listen to this, okay? And there should be some slides, some pictures up on the screen as well to help you. Okay, it's called Going Home. Jesus' friends were afraid, so they were hiding in an upstairs room with the door bolted shut. But that didn't stop Jesus. He just walked straight through the wall. "It's a ghost," Thomas screamed and hid under the table. But it wasn't a ghost. "I'm hungry," Jesus said. "What's for lunch?" Peter gave him a fish, and they all hung back and watched him eat it. "This can't be," they were telling themselves. "It's impossible. It's not happening." But it was, right in front of them. Delicious. Jesus wiped his mouth with the back of his hand and he grinned. Can a ghost do that? He winked. Can you wink? Can you wink with one eye? Can you do that? You can. Oh, well done. And they all laughed. I'm really here, Jesus said. And he really was. Peter's heart leapt with joy and he fell into Jesus' arms, hugging and kissing him. The others followed. They felt their hearts would burst from happiness. So the friends ate together and chatted happily. And every now and then they would just stare, gaze at Jesus and have to touch him to just make sure they weren't dreaming. Jesus had a real body, but this body was better. It had come through death, and it couldn't get sick or be killed again. This body would live forever. Jesus had come back with a brand new body. Not only were sad things becoming untrue, the friends realized they were becoming new again. Was God going to make everything new? Jesus said, I am the Saviour and the Rescuer of the world. And they knew, because he couldn't stay dead, because Jesus had come alive again, that somehow everything would be all right. A few days later, as they walked together, Jesus told his friends, It's time for me to go home to my Father. They all looked worried, and then they remembered what Jesus had told them before he died. There's a place for you. I'll get it ready, Jesus had said. You know the way. Thomas panicked. I don't know the way. Yes, you do, Jesus said. I am the way, and the truth, and the life. When at last they reached the top of the highest hill near Jerusalem, Jesus turned to them and said, Go everywhere and tell everyone this happy news. Isn't that a great, true story? From the Bible. Jesus is alive and that he's staying alive. In a wee minute after we sing My Lighthouse, which is the next song, Johnny is going to appear on screen. Even though he hasn't been feeling very well, he's still coming on screen. So we're going to go back to your seats and we're going to sing My Lighthouse and then listen to what Johnny's saying. He's going to be talking about the story that Sandra read and that I've just read, and then he's going to ask you some questions as well. So listen well, listen hard. That's My Lighthouse.
Love will lead me through. You want me. Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you. Sorry I can't be with you in person today, but, you know. But it's great to join with you online here. And I want to ask you this. Have you heard the expression, put yourself in someone else's shoes? Well, here's my shoes, or at least the ones I wear whenever I'm speaking in church. Here's Amy's shoes. Here's Jacob's shoes. But when it says to put yourself in someone else's shoes, it doesn't mean to actually wear their physical shoes. It means to try and imagine what it's like to be that person. So I want you, with the people around you, to take a moment and imagine that you're in Thomas's sandals. Okay, you're in Thomas's sandals that first week after Easter, when all your friends have said that they've met Jesus, that Jesus is back from the dead, but you haven't. What would you be thinking? Have a chat with people around you and then come back and join me. Well, hello again. Well, like you, I've been thinking about Thomas this week. And I'm really glad this story is in the Bible, because it helps me to understand Jesus better. Because like Thomas, I like to see and I like to understand things for myself. I don't like to just hear about them from other people. Like Thomas, I have questions and things that confuse me, that puzzle me. And I feel a bit sorry for him. Imagine carrying around the label Doubting Thomas. I mean, Thomas wasn't looking back on events like we do. they were happening in real time for him. They were happening live. And I wonder if we were in his sandals, might we have reacted in the same way? See, Thomas had been following Jesus for years. At times he was very curious. He liked to understand things. At times he was very brave in following Jesus. And he expected Jesus to bring radical change. But when Jesus was arrested and died on the cross, his dreams are dashed. His hopes are shattered. He must have been really sad. Then his friends tell him something strange, that Jesus is alive again, and that they've actually met him, that they've seen his scars. Thomas, well, he struggled to believe him. He knew dead people didn't walk and talk, and so of course he was confused. He wanted to see for himself. But then I wonder if Thomas had another thought. Hang on a minute. Why didn't Jesus appear to me? Don't know about you, but I hate feeling left out, especially whenever something special has happened. I wonder, did Thomas feel forgotten? If I was Thomas, I'd probably have felt a bit rejected by Jesus. Maybe even cancelled. I'd want to meet Jesus the way my friends had met him. And perhaps that's why Thomas's words are so prickly. Unless I get to actually see the nail marks and touch his side, I won't believe. It's his red line. I wonder what red lines you or your friends or family might draw when it comes to faith. God, I'll believe in you, but only if... I'll let you fill in the blank. When we can't see Jesus the way we want to, sometimes we can close ourselves off to him. Pete Gregg suggests that perhaps Thomas's objections are more emotional than rational. And that's helpful for us to remember when we're sharing Jesus with other people, that their objections may come from a place of hurt rather than a place of intellectual understanding. But how will Jesus respond to Thomas? Someone with doubts, someone who can't see or understand Jesus the way his friends do. Well, it's comforting to know that Thomas isn't cancelled. Jesus loves you too much to do that. That in our wrestling and in our doubts, in our failures, Jesus won't walk out. No, Jesus walks right in. And he meets Thomas exactly as he is. I wonder, are you still in Thomas's sandals? Imagine that moment a week later when Jesus enters the room and he turns and looks at you. And Ren repeats back your words. Put your fingers here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Jesus has heard Thomas. And rather than dismiss him, Jesus makes a special appearance to address his doubts. Thomas, I heard you when you thought I didn't care. Thomas, I was there when you thought I was absent. I saw you even when you couldn't see me. Stop doubting and believe. A rebuke? Yep. But a gentle one, I guess. And an invitation to faith. Jesus has heard Thomas and he hears us too. At this moment, I'm trying to make sense of a period of sickness and challenge in my life. And I found Pete Gregg's words really insightful this week. He says this: looking back on seasons of suffering in my own life, I can now see quite clearly how the Lord was present, not absent, in those moments of apparent abandonment. Perhaps when I feel forgotten, I need to remember that his message to me is not so much, hang on in there, I'll turn up eventually, but rather, I see you when you can't see me. I hear you when you can't hear me. Stop doubting and believe. Ask yourselves for a moment, what challenges are you facing that might cause you to doubt Jesus? To wonder if he's really there? If he's really listening? If he really cares? Maybe take a moment and name those challenges quietly in your own heart right now. God's timing might be difficult to understand, but he does know the perfect time to show up. And it's actually this that led Thomas to the most incredible statement of faith. He looks at Jesus and says, "My Lord and my God." Thomas is the first disciple to get it, to see who Jesus actually is, his God, God in the flesh, right before his eyes. We're not going to be calling him Doubting Thomas in heaven, will we? That label's not going to stick anymore. This is Believing Thomas. Thomas who sees, Thomas who knows, Thomas who understands that Jesus is our God. He's transformed because he sees Jesus. And Jesus says that 2,000 years later, we're blessed even more than Thomas when we believe what the disciples told us about Jesus, even whenever we can't see him face to face like they did. That's why John's writing this story in the first place, his gospel, to help us to see that Jesus is the Son of God, and that by believing in him, all of us can have eternal life. We can become God's children. What about you? Have you responded like Thomas? Today, will you see Jesus as your Lord and your God? And how might you help others see Jesus for themselves? Because Jesus still changes lives today. Let's take some time talking to him now.
Thank you, Johnny. Even when you're unwell, you're still unstoppable. And we thank you for your thoughts. We're going to come and pray now, praying through the things that Johnny talked about, the things that we read in the Bible. So we're going to use scripture to help us. And we'll reflect on the true story from the Bible which Sandra read, which Johnny has just explained to us. And what I'll do is I will read slowly through the verses, and this time we'll ask the Holy Spirit to highlight for each of us words or ideas that he wants us to notice. And this is for all ages. God loves and welcomes little children to listen to him and to speak to him, just as he wants, as much as he wants grown-ups to hear his voice. Some of the phrases I use are often used in the daily Lectio 365 prayer app, which was started by Pete Gregg, who Johnny's just mentioned a couple of times. And in this app, there are words which are helpful in drawing us into prayer. And as we pray, we'll also think about how the disciples, especially Thomas, might have felt at that time, and the words that Jesus himself spoke into the situation. So let us pray, each of us focusing our attention on God himself.
As I enter prayer now, I pause to be still, to breathe slowly, to recenter my scattered senses upon the presence of God. Father, you are here. And as we listen again to the words of Scripture, of Jesus appearing to Thomas, bring to our minds what you want us to hear from you today. The words of Scripture, "Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the twelve, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But Thomas said to them, 'Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hands into his side, I will not believe it.' Father, sometimes we can be really hard on Thomas, a bit judgmental, and think that if we had been in his shoes, we wouldn't have doubted, and we would have believed. Well, maybe that's true for some, but for others of us, we probably would have been just like Thomas and reacted just like him. Father, I often wonder why Thomas wasn't with the others when Jesus appeared. I wonder where he was. Did he feel really left out and not as good as the other disciples? Not as important? And did he then become angry and defensive, not wanting to be hurt all over again if what they had said wasn't true? And is that why he said, 'Unless all these things happen, I won't believe'? Father, we don't know. But we do know that he was struggling with believing. Father, we all have our unlesses, our bargaining chips with you, the things that stop us trusting you or make us doubt you. Unless you make me popular in school, I won't believe. Unless you take away this chronic pain. Unless you find me a better job. Unless you heal my friend. So many other unlesses that make it difficult for us to trust you. Thank you, though, that you don't get angry or fed up with our doubts and our fears, our unlesses, but you do dearly want us to trust you with absolutely everything in our lives. You especially want us to trust you with the unlikely things which, like Thomas, we cannot believe will ever happen. We do have some faith, but help us to have more. As we return to the next bit of the passage, help us listen out again for what the Holy Spirit is wanting us to notice. Scripture says, "A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe.' Thomas said to him, 'My Lord and my God.'" Father, we love how this story ends, with Thomas recognizing who Jesus is. But looking back, it must have been a very long week for Thomas. He had to listen to the other disciples' excitement at seeing Jesus, what had happened to them, how Jesus had looked when he appeared to them, what Jesus had said and done. And I wonder, was Thomas kicking himself for not being there? Could he trust what the others were saying? Why was he the only one who didn't get to be in on this? Father, I hope
the other disciples in their excitement were still kind to Thomas. I hope they took time to listen and to understand how he was feeling. I hope they prayed for Thomas, that he would see Jesus for himself and believe. Father, we all have people who are dear to us who don't yet believe and who have not encountered Jesus for themselves. You know the depth of pain that this causes us, the fear that they won't ever believe. And we ask that you would sit with us in our pain and help us to keep going, to keep on praying, to keep on loving our dear people well. But Father, one prayer soars high above all the rest. Please, please, will you meet them? Please, will you show them your love and forgiveness and compassion and help them to trust you with their lives so that they too can call Jesus my Lord and my God. And finally, as we return to the passage for the last verse, we want to thank you for what you're saying to us. The scripture says, "Then Jesus told Thomas, 'Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.'" Father, that is us. You call us blessed. We have not seen you, yet so many of us believe. We thank you for encouraging us and for recognizing that it is sometimes hard to believe in things we cannot see. You have called us to trust you, and so together we want to remind ourselves and each other here in this place that you have brought us to faith and you will keep us. We do have a little faith. Help us to have more. We worship you and we thank you with our whole hearts because you love us and have made us yours forever. And now, Father, as we close this time of prayer, help us to live this day to the full, being true to you in every way. Jesus, help us to give ourselves away to others, being kind to everyone we meet. Spirit, help us to love the lost, proclaiming Christ in all we do and say. Amen. And now we will sing My Troubled Soul.
Made to bear this heavy load. We would love you to stay and have coffee and tea and chat with old friends and maybe make some new ones. And as we go, we'll listen to the words of Peter. He says, you love him, even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him and rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. Amen.